Thanks for listening to the Jerry Bader Show podcast presented by Amish Furniture Warehouse in the New London area. Check them out today at amishfurniturewarehouse.biz. Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. The EEOC went after Texas Roadhouse for age discrimination, but nobody complained about it. No, nobody. They did not receive one complaint. Well, that's because people don't know they're being discriminated against. But one of our employees walked into a Texas Roadhouse and saw all these young people. In response to whether EEOC should fire preemptively that way, without absent receiving a complaint, a friend writes, I think I can summarize the question in one sentence. Should the EEOC be a pre-crime unit? It's hard enough to deal with the steady stream of lame complaints we already get. I can't imagine being charged with having the structural potential to violate somebody's civil liberties. It sounds an awful like begging the question. You're a guy. You have the potential to rape women. You're alone at work with women sometimes, and while nobody's accused you of rape, you certainly could rape somebody, so you're being charged with rape. It's an interesting analogy. You'd have to fill in the blanks there a little bit. No, you're going to be investigated for rape. There would have to be... Here's where her analogy falls a bit short. They are claiming they saw evidence of age discrimination. You know what that evidence was? No old people. Okay? So it's the environment. Here's what they were saying. The environment itself was evidence of the behavior. Women... A man being surrounded by women in and of itself isn't evidence of that. Perhaps their behavior around him might be. But I think there is a real danger here. That if that not being complaint-based, as for the analogy to a cop witnessing a crime, well, that's really not the same thing. Kathy on the road. Kathy, go ahead.
Good morning. Did they check applications? I mean, every business has to save applications. I'm 50 years old. I don't want to work at Texas Roadhouse. So, I mean, there's got to be a count there.
Here's the thing that's interesting, that you make a great point. At least in the reporting that I saw, they give anecdotal examples of some job applications that they saw, but they talk about the statistical chances of someone over 40 not working there, but they don't talk about how many over 40 applications they get.
And that's where it should come out. I mean, show us your applications for last year, because I've been unemployed, and that's not so... I don't want to go sing to a bunch of people. You know, I mean, that's just not... I don't think you're going to get that many people in that age group applying. So there should be, you know... And being over 50, I have been discriminated against by companies, you know, but... I won't even apply there, so that's got to come into as a factor too.
Oh, I can tell you right now, I am virtually certain. Back there was a period a while back when I was actually looking at teaching college rather than doing radio. I guarantee that my age played a factor against me.
And your political views; those aren't allowed in colleges.
Yeah, well, I've had that experience as well. But I mean, there were ones where they didn't know what I did for a day job.
You don't know that.
Well, that's true.
HR person, they know what you do everywhere.
Yeah, well, there is that. I have to be careful because our HR department listens to the show, so I wouldn't want to compare them to CIA spooks out loud. Thanks a lot for the call, Kathy. I appreciate it. Actually, I stole that from Kelvin and Hobbes. Santa, he knows when you've been sleeping, he knows when you're awake, and you haven't been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. Santa, kindly old elf or CIA spook? Well, it's their job. No, Kathy's right about that. It is, in fact, their job. We're going to have to take a break on this. We're expecting a call from Governor Walker here in a second. I want to pick this up after 10 o'clock in a different angle, though. And that's how these whole service jobs could be going away very, very soon with automation. But we are joined now on the phone by Governor Scott Walker. Governor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, thanks for making this work the next day. I know we had issues yesterday, and I really appreciate the flexibility. Let's start here. With the budget you unveiled this week, I found the reform dividend an interesting thing. Let's spend the reform dividend. And I made the analogy to the peace dividend, and that didn't work out so well. Talk about why it's wise to turn around and take those savings and invest them right away.
Well, we invest them in a couple key priorities. One, workforce. Everywhere I go across the state, every one of the listening sessions I've had, anytime I talk to employers, big or small, like, they tell me the number one issue these days is not the creation of jobs. We've got more people employed than ever before. Unemployment's at a 16-year low. It's workforce. It's filling those jobs. And so for us, if I hear it in every county and every part of the state, if I hear it on a weekly, sometimes daily basis, to me, that is a significant priority if we want to continue the economic growth that got us to this prosperity in the first place. And so you look at this budget, overwhelmingly the investments are in things that help build the workforce. K-12 with a renewed focus on early college credit, doubling the amount of fab labs, doing other things that help get our children college and career ready. You look at our technical colleges, again, a renewed focus in high demand areas. You look at the University of Wisconsin system. Again, all things, we've had things that tie into performance. So we up the performance measures in our technical colleges. We create a whole new standard in the University of Wisconsin system tied into money. And we require any school that gets the new funds, K-12, to be using be fully in compliance with the Act 10 reform. So it's money in the classroom that helps build the workforce. And then the other big part of the investment is back to the hardworking taxpayers. Almost $600 million in new tax and fee relief on top of the $4.7 billion that we've done already. By the time our budget is done, throughout my two terms as governor, we will have reduced taxes and fees in the state by $8 billion. I don't think anyone can say that's not a significant debt.
Let's go back to one of the specific areas you mentioned, education spending. And, you know, you're taking some criticism even from within your own party on that, on a couple of fronts. Let's start with one, the fact that it's not an equalized formula to look at lower income districts. It's across the board. But two, some Republicans are saying that this is almost reminiscent of a liberal Santa Claus get reelected in 2018 move and just throw a lot of money to what they say are failing schools.
Well, if they're failing, then our Act 10 reforms aren't working. I actually think Act 10 reforms, the school report cards, the other initiatives we have, it actually increased. We've seen, you know, we continue to rank at the top of the list, ACT scores. We now have every student tested. We're one of about 18 or 19 states that do that. We're one of the top states there. We continue to have some of the top graduation rates. Do we have some failing schools? Absolutely, particularly Milwaukee. And we target some things to turn around those areas that open the door not just for the public school system to make changes, but for charter and choice schools to fill the gap if they don't. But overall, our Act 10 reforms, which we require to get the new money, empower these school districts to do more to provide student success. We take it even further. We remove a bunch of the mandates. We allow particularly smaller rural school districts to do things like consolidate their shared services so they're not stuck each individual district having to take on these high-cost requirements, but instead being able to work together to do them. We do all sorts of things that improve the effectiveness and efficiency of our schools, with the idea being that better student success isn't just a noble thing to do. It's an economic necessity if we're going to continue to grow our economy.
Talking with Governor Scott Walker on that front, that to get the new aid, schools must take advantage of all of the Act 10 reforms. Madison has been singled out. There are others that aren't doing that in terms of how much employees have to pay for health insurance. There, you're being accused of usurping local control. What's your reaction to that?
Well, they don't have to take the money. I mean, they can have all the local control they want, but To me, if we're going to make that sizable investment, I want to make sure that school districts are fully using the benefits of our reforms. These reforms were not easy to enact, as you and your listeners well know, but they paid a huge dividend. It is why, not just with schools, but local and state government, is why we're in such a positive climate when it comes to our budget, is because we've done a better job of managing our resources, combined with economic reforms that help not the government, but the people of the state, create more jobs, higher wages, a better economic situation. Like any good business, when you have a dividend, you invest it in your priorities, in your workforce, in the things that get you there, and then you reinvest it in things that will grow your business. In this case, that's why we put so much into tax reform as well. Property taxes will be lower in 18 than they were when we started. Income taxes will be lower in 18 than when we started. Heck, with property taxes, we eliminate the entire portion of the state line on your property tax bill. For the first time since 1931, there will be no state component on your property tax bill. We eliminated an entire tax. Those are all things about continuing to reinvest in the things that got us the dividend. And we do prudent things. We add a sizable amount to our rainy day fund. It's now 178 times bigger than we took office, the highest in state history. So we prepare for the future, but we know the taxpayers deserve part of this dividend, so we send that back, and we know that there are tremendous workforce needs, and we make those investments as well.
Probably the biggest point of contention intra-party at this point, as you know, is transportation. You continue to be insistent on not raising taxes to pay for roads. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is at odds with you on this. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, quoted by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said that and while he is stuck closer to you on the gas tax, as they write, caution that both Voss and the governor are digging into their positions on that issue. He's quoted as saying, at some point, you're going to have to come up with some type of compromise or cut a deal. That's not going to happen anytime soon. So how does that play out, Governor?
Well, you've got legislative leaders, both of whom I'm friends with, enjoy working with, and we're going to continue to work well together on things with. But talking about things in the Capitol, it's why I was in Appleton yesterday, landed late when I just missed being on your show then, but in Platteville today. I'll be in multiple other places around the state, not just today, but in the coming weeks and months ahead. Because I'm going to talk to the voters. I'm going to talk to the taxpayers. I'm going to talk to the people of the state and make the case as to why the reforms in this budget are good for them. When it comes to the gas tax, I think with this reform dividend being bigger than most people thought it could possibly be, the last thing we want to do when we've got this sizable reform dividend we've invested in our priorities. When it comes to transportation, let me be clear, there is more money in this budget for the rehabilitation of state highways than ever before. There is more money for local aids for counties and municipalities to fix roads and bridges and potholes than ever before, some of the biggest increases they've seen in 15 to 20 years. What we're not doing is taking on brand new projects that we can't afford over the next 2 years. And to me, I think, you know, your listeners in particular need to be clear on what's going on here. A move to push a gas tax forward is a move for spending that's higher than what's in this budget. I think that is unacceptable. We have a reform dividend. We shouldn't be talking about raising taxes. We should be talking about how to lower the tax burden. That's exactly what we do in this budget.
Speaking of reform, final question. As you know, the MacIver Institute is pushing hard that the next big reform from your administration be a flat tax, a state income flat tax. I believe it's 3% they're proposing. What's your thoughts on what they're putting out there?
Well, I think it's very interesting. I think hypothetically, if someone was thinking about running for re-election, that would be something that might be very attractive to someone who would consider running for re-election. I won't make an announcement on re-election until after the budget's complete. But I think, not just in this budget, but looking ahead, what are the next big things we'd like to do if we had a chance and decided to run for another four-year term? It would be, certainly tax reform would be a big part of it, along with a whole slew of other things. Right now, though, I want to get through this budget, get the tax relief we have there, as well as there's a lot of other big reforms. A RAINS Act, getting rid of prevailing wage, getting rid of project labor agreements, all sorts of consolidations to make government more effective and efficient and accountable. This is a conservative budget, and I hope the Senate and the Assembly Republicans will work with us.
And I would just say to any hypothetical candidate for a third term that if they were to borrow the MacIver Institute's Act 2 to Act 10, they stole that from me. But any any candidate would be free to use it. I would just mention that.
So hypothetically, it sounds like it would be a pretty good base to begin with.
Governor Walker, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
And have a great hypothetical weekend. All right, it is 9:50. That is as close as he's come to announcing. Darn it! 9:50.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.